Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out late every weekend. They're talking about you and it's bringing me down.
I would say the most common question we have is a lack of understanding about the sidewalk remaining open during the duration of the project. There's a misconception that we're tearing out pavers to the front door of your business and pedestrians can't walk through there. That's untrue.
This is Brad Hinout, city engineer for City of Pensacola, talking during the meeting where they focused in specifically on the Reimagine Palafox or New Palafox project. They're going to be voting on it tomorrow night to fully fund it. The CRA already approved 5-2 in the meeting on Monday. And so we're getting into the final before it can actually begin phase. A lot of people have their concerns or objections or questions, and so I wanted to give you as much information as I could here on the radio. I know a lot of it is visual, but a lot of it is conceptual, too, and that's one of the things. I agree. I had a trouble imagining how the pedestrian could stay open, and the way it's going to work, as I understand it, is that you're going to have everything under the awning, okay, where you would normally, like anything that's under an awning, that's going to be open, like the 6 feet from the front of the shop towards the street, that's all going to be open. And then there's going to be basically a barricade barrier of some kind. And then the work is going to be happening on the other side of the barrier and the barricade. And the barricade is supposed to have sort of visually interesting stuff on it, to not so much just, you know, bland white tape or whatever, but it's going to have pictures of old historic buildings and, you know, it's supposed to look, you know, kind of not too awful. And then on the other side of that is going to be all the stuff about the curb work and the grading and the, you know, the repaving and the digging down, because that's a really important part of this. But very important is that pedestrian tunnel they're talking about, that you will be able to get on foot to every single shop everywhere on Palafox throughout the entire 6 months of the project.
If you've ever walked down Palafox when it's raining, where do you walk? You walk under the canopy. That entire canopy is going to be open for the duration of this project, just like when it's raining. Mm-hmm. Pedestrians get up and down north, south through that same area, and that our construction impact will not get under that canopy, awning, whatever terminology you want to use. So that whole area will remain open, and 6 foot is the minimum. Most of them are 10 or 12 feet.
Yeah, so it'll be at least 6 foot of what they're calling. I don't think calling it a pedestrian tunnel is the ideal, but if you get what they mean, that's what they're talking about. A lot of discussion about the aesthetics of it, the circles inside the squares and the pavers and all of that. And that, you know, those bricks, according to Adrian Walker, that is historical. There is a lot of history involved in the aesthetics that they're picking. It will weather over time, and it will not be quite as bright as you see on the pictures. Concerns about the circles themselves, are they roundabouts? No, they're just circular pavers inside of a square intersection. I thought some of the most interesting stuff had to do with the pay penalties and deadlines, and also the stormwater stuff, which I did not understand until I heard them talking about this, so I really appreciate them going into it. I'll explain in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, doing our typical slowdowns for construction and congestion. And Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, starting around Kingsfield Road, we're seeing about a 7 to 11 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So Brad Hinout, city engineer, explains that the liquidated damages, that's a penalty, okay, if they go long, is double the normal construction penalty that they have with other contractors.
Liquidated damage process, as Mr. Cobb alluded to, is baked into the contract. And historically, we do a $500 a day penalty, liquidated damage penalty. Myself and Mr. Cobb met, recognizing the importance of expediting this project, as well as ensuring that a contractor doesn't delay intentionally or unintentionally, and we ramped that number up from 500 to 1,000.
And there's also an incentive on the front end of, I think it's 10%. It's like 700,000. It's the same amount as a contingency fee, almost 800,000 for them to finish early. And I thought, Mayor Reeves made an interesting point somewhere along the line about how there's a big incentive for them to do it well, and they are building around that goal. Like, they're not just going to, you know, if we hit it, we hit it. They're going to try to get there and mobilize early with that in mind from the very beginning, which is, makes, you know, sense. They're designing around that. But if they do miss the deadline, there are no excuses. It is a date. It is a firm date. It is not adjustable based on rain days and all of that.
Obviously, in this particular project, with an incentivized completion date, it's clearly documented with Mr. Cobb's help in the contractual language. It doesn't matter if it rains the entire time. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday weekend, whatever. They're going to be done by the 24th of May, or they're not getting their incentive. So there's no calculation involved. Are you done or are you not?
Yeah, there's no rain days. There's no, I mean, normally you would have that conversation, but in this case, no, it's just a date. Even if the city causes the delay that they don't get their incentive, it doesn't matter. And by the way, the city wants it to be done early, so it's not like that's a problem. Their goals are aligned. Okay, but the question that I, again, this is the part that I thought was the most interesting, was the stormwater improvements, because, you know, we know that Palo Fox floods and businesses get damaged, and, you know, this whole system is going to take a full inch of rain and eliminate it from the street. So it can handle an inch of rain, no problem. Right now, and I mean, you know, bad things happen on Palo Fox when you get a lot of rain. Okay, so, but there's been theories about, well, do you have to do the curbs and how much of the new pavers and what things can and can't be done? Well, a lot of the answers to those questions are built into the question of, are you fixing the stormwater stuff?
One myth that's been presented has been that the only reason that curb work needs to be completed is because of an extension of just 2.5 feet. As a matter of fact, if we left the curb in the exact same place, all of that curb work from a stormwater standpoint would have to be done. That's where I'll stop playing engineer, but just understand, we discussed the topography of the road that will be changed, as well as the need for curb work to happen regardless of whether it were to be pulled in or out.
Correct.
This is, I think, the most, if as a non-engineer, if you want to understand what's going to change on Palo Fox, this is actually much more important than even the aesthetic stuff with the brick colors and all of that.
If the citizens and the council's desire is for stormwater improvements, currently Palo Fox is essentially dead flat. To implement the stormwater improvements that we desire, we're going to change the profile of the road such as, you and forgive me for talking with my hands, but basically implementing a peak and valley system such that the water can run to the low points, at which place we'll put the inlets to get the water off the road into an inlet. Obviously, by changing the profile of the road, you also have to rip out the curb on the sides of the road to allow for that water to flow through those low points. So you have to rip out the curb if you want stormwater improvements.
Now, you're probably not going to notice it because it's a very gradual grade, but it doesn't take much, you know, a couple of inches over a long period of time, or even an inch. I'm not an engineer. I don't know the amounts, but it doesn't take much to make it so that the water flows toward the collector. Well, right now it's just flat, so the water literally doesn't go anywhere. But they're going to build it where it's going to kind of rise and fall as you drive down the street, so that the peaks and valleys he's talking about will move the water along the street into the curb and then into the storm collection stuff that's going to be able to handle up to an inch of rainwater. That's the difference. That's the big thing, is that and in order to do that, you're going to have to regrade every part of the street. And once you're regrading every part of the street, now you're going to have to adjust the curbs, because the curbs are built through a flat street. Now you're going to have to adjust the curbing to go along with that, and matching that up against the flat sidewalks in next to the buildings. I mean, this is going to be a very complicated engineering thing, but it's something that gets done all the time. And since they're laying down concrete under the pavers, not sand, they're not going to settle. It's concrete underneath, which is what the standard is in the city now. They're building a whole new street. They're not just putting a surface on top of the existing street. They're literally building a whole new street with all of this storm drain stuff in it. And Charles Baer kind of asked about this, and get more clarification here.
Sounds like when you're talking about the road, we have to crown it, I guess, to get water to move off.
The terminology of crown is typically from the center line out to curb. What I'm trying to describe is longitudinally peaks and valleys in the center line of the road, such that the water run from the center line north and south to a low point, and then run a crown to the east and the west into these low spots.
Crowning is when the yellow stripe in the middle of the road is the high point, and the water flows to the sides toward the curb. That's not what he's talking about. I mean, there might be some of that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's saying that, you know, at say a crosswalk here that's elevated might be a high point in the road, and then from there the water flows down to the drain collector between the next crosswalk. That's the idea, which, again, that was fascinating to me to hear him explain this.
To do the stormwater improvements, we don't have to take out the sidewalk, do we? We just have to – you said the curb was the issue, right?
There would be some of the sidewalk that would have to go again because you're implementing this peak and valley system
right.
that would have to be continued out to the flow line of the gutter, which is the curb. So obviously by changing the elevation of that curb, even minimally, you're going to have some paver behind that sidewalk that would need to be adjusted to make sure you don't have some odd drop-off, fall-off to make it a smooth transition, topographically speaking.
So the short version of the long explanation is, why are they redoing everything other than right under the awnings, the 6 feet from the fronts of the stores? Because if you're going to do the stormwater mitigation, you're going to have to rebuild the entire street, including the curb and some of the things that are in proximity to the curb. So once you're doing that, well, now we're totally rebuilding. Now we can talk about how we want to make it look, because you have to do that anyway. Unless you want to just go with the throw asphalt down and, you know, forget about it and don't worry about making the flooding better or the ADA compliance better or anything like that. So that's why when they say, well, it's the engineers, man. And like I said, I had not understood that. And so I think that kind of answers the objection of, well, why can't we do it this way instead? Well, if you want the stormwater improvements, this is what you have to do. And now once we're doing that, all of this other stuff kind of at least makes sense or becomes a little bit more justified. And then, you know, you got Quint Studer announcing that he's willing to loan anybody money, basically, who thinks they're going to struggle, no interest. He's not charging rent on his own tenants for the next year. And he's already put $400,000 in loans, no interest, to people who are not even his tenants to help them get through the time. So I think a lot of the objections have been answered, and a lot of it is just conceptual, people not quite grasping the whole project. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have questions, by the way, text them to me. We'll be talking with the mayor coming up next, so you can text me and I'll ask him the same thing. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and you obviously want to get a great deal buying, and you're maybe thinking about buying a brand new home, you wouldn't often, might not think about having a realtor. Guess what? A realtor can really help. You know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they help people buy new homes too. And you say, what is a new home? I just buy it from, okay. She knows what's just like regular buying of a used house. She knows what the price should be. She knows what concessions they're willing to make. She knows how their inventory is or is not moving. You know, how motivated are they? And she can help you negotiate. Also, she'll help you make sure you get the end product that you're hoping for. Because a lot of times when you take delivery of a new home, you know, you don't know how much to complain about. You don't know what to ask for, what your rights are, whatever. And she'll help you with that. And she says she's a blue tape queen. So I will go around your house and here. They need to fix that because you bought a new home. Well, that's the kind of value you get in having an expert with this major life investment of buying a house. Selling or buying, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help. 786-3996. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest exit, experiencing about a 3 to 7 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. And Highway 29 southbound, starting around Kingsfield Road, approaching all the way down to 9 Mile, you're seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the golden rule given to us in Scripture is given in the context of prayer? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 gives us the golden rule. The Bible there says, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Just previous to this verse in Matthew 7 are instructions that we are to ask, seek, and knock through prayer, and the Lord will provide good things. So understanding that the golden rule is given in the context of prayer, the question is, do you pray for others like you would want them to pray for you? Are you in a situation where you need God to provide for you in a huge way? I suggest that you not only ask, seek, and knock for your needs, but that you ask, seek, and knock for the needs of others, and then marvel at how God not only meets their needs, but yours as well.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, God. Zod.
That John is over here dancing and singing along with it.
I mean, yeah, that was
you have to, man.
You do.
Let it be. Here we go. All right, 728 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you've got a home improvement project, a repair, a build, a, you know, renovation, whatever you're doing, Pensacola Hardware has your stuff and they have your advice. I think what you get there, in addition to just obviously good stuff and good deals, is you get great advice from people who live this construction lifestyle. In fact, they are, for the commercial construction people, they are the experts even for them. Like, the people who build things for a living go to them and, you know, get input. Certainly you can. And that's, I had an old boss that always said, there's only two times I want you to come ask me for advice, Andrew. It's when you know what to do and when you don't know what to do. So, like always, you know, go to them and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What do you think? Is that a good plan? And they'll be like, yep, good plan. Or, think about this a little bit, because they have been doing this for 174 years since 1851, since before the Civil War. You've had Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 729, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to withhold SNAP benefits. Last week, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson issued an administrative stay that temporarily blocked a lower court order requiring the administration to make SNAP payments. A ruling on Tuesday will extend that stay through this Thursday. NASA is trying again today to launch a couple of probes into space on a Blue Origin rocket. The launch of the two Mars probes was delayed over the weekend due to bad weather at Cape Canaveral. The twin probes are designed to orbit Mars and study their atmosphere. And Charlotte, North Carolina is reportedly the next target for the U.S. Border Patrol. Agents are expected to leave Chicago, where they've been conducting raids and operations. Local law enforcement officials in Charlotte say there's no direct word yet about potential operations.
You went right past my opportunity to sing. Probes in space! David's blank look concerns me.
I'm CJ Pop. A vote in the House expected later this evening to end the shutdown. The House returns to work after a seven-week hiatus. House Republicans telling Fox.
They believe they will have the votes to get this bill to President Trump's desk. He, of course, wants to see the government reopened as soon as possible. The deal on the table includes funding SNAP benefits for almost a year, as well as funding military construction and getting those government workers their paychecks.
Fox's Mark Meredith on Capitol Hill. President Trump asking the Israeli president to pardon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu. That from the Israeli president's office this morning. The prime minister has been facing a long-running corruption trial, and President Trump has repeatedly asked for a pardon for his close ally. The PM denies the charges, has pleaded not guilty. Nobody won the massive $900 million Mega Million jackpot prize last night. The next drawing is Friday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 40 degrees with sunshine this morning in Pensacola. Well, the Northern Lights putting on a show last night. NOAA issued a severe geomagnetic storm alert as they are reporting at least 21 states would be able to see the aurora borealis this week. Now, the Northern Lights occur when the sun's plasma interacts with the Earth's magnetic field. Experts say the strong solar activity is making the auroras much more visible further south than usual. Photos all over social media this morning showing a lot of people getting some beautiful photos of that phenomenon here in our area last night. Some reported even being able to see the lights with the naked eye. If you're a veteran in Escambia County and you'd like help in applying for benefits, mark your calendar for tomorrow. The Escambia County Veterans Services Office is having a free outreach event in Molino at the Community Center from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Accredited service officers will be there to help with VA benefits, filing claims, and reviewing disability ratings. This is a first-come, first-serve service, and they say there's no appointment needed. The Community Center is located at 6450 Highway 95A North. For more information, reach out to the Escambia County Veterans Services Office. Graffiti Bridge claimed another one. A box truck tried to test the 10-foot clearance on Tuesday. The demolished truck apparently now has the convertible look. The bridge is still undefeated. Well, get ready for barbecue this weekend. Pensacola's Egg Fest is back at the Hadji Temple for another year. It'll be at the Hadji Temple on 9 Mile Road Saturday from noon till 3. The foodie festival features cook teams competing with creative dishes and smoked meats, and all for a good cause, of course. Since it started, Eggfest has raised over $920,000 for local charities. Tickets are $45 until Friday. Then they go up to $55 at the door. Escambia County fire crews responded to a house fire yesterday. Firefighters were called to a home on Perdido Street near Old Coryfield Road at around 5:45 on Tuesday. The good news, everybody inside made it out safely. So far, there's no word on the extent of the damage or the cause of that fire. Well, good news for steak lovers. Pensacola's Outback Steakhouse reportedly won't be going anywhere. Now, the chain's parent company, Bloomin' Brands, has closed dozens of locations nationwide in recent months, but the Airport Boulevard restaurant appears to be safe. A kitchen manager there tells the News Journal that they've heard nothing about any closure plans and says the company's actually doubling down, planning to make a $75 million turnaround and focused on what they're calling steak excellence. Remaining locations will reportedly get renovations in the next couple of years. The University of West Florida mourning the loss of a softball player that died in a crash over the weekend. 19-year-old Chloe Krigal was killed on Sunday. Her car reportedly veered off I-10 in Gadsden County near Tallahassee and hit a tree. Heavy rain and wet roads were reported at that time. Krigal was a Suwannee County native. She'd graduated from high school last spring. Her former coach said she'd achieved her dreams and made it to play college softball. The university said she was a beloved teammate, and she'll be greatly missed. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Seeing about a 10-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, 5 to 7 minute delay. And Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, experiencing about a 9-minute congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Starting off with some cooler temperatures in the 40s. As you head into your afternoon, high near 71 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. For your Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Going into Friday, sunny skies, high near 75. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 44 degrees right now. Sunshine this morning in Pensacola. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. General Motors wants out of China entirely, even indirectly. The car maker has ordered thousands of its suppliers to remove Chinese parts from their supply chains. GM has set a 2027 deadline for suppliers to cut all ties with China. Reuters reports that GM is calling it part of a broader strategy to make its supply chains more resilient at a time of on-again, off-again trade tensions between the U.S. and China. This will make the music business fret. A new Ipsos poll found a staggering 97% of listeners cannot distinguish AI-generated songs from human-composed songs. It underscores the growing concern that AI could upend the whole industry. Nearly 75% of respondents also said AI music should be properly labeled. That's after an AI band drew 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify earlier this year. On Wall Street, futures are higher, building off the Dow's record high. That's Your Money Now.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Hey, obviously, there's a lot of stuff on the agenda for tomorrow night, and I want to get to as much of it as we can. One thing that I want to start with a little bit is the reimagined Palafox, or what you guys are now calling the new Palafox. I was just explaining at great length, I'm sure maybe too much length for some people's taste, that the stormwater improvements necessitate completely regrading the road, which is why you're going to have to redo all the curbs and everything that's next to the curbs between the curb, new or old, and the existing 6 foot next to the buildings. I've been doing that, but one of the questions that somebody texted in, it says, is where does the stormwater go? If it can handle an inch of rain, where does that inch of rain go? Is it going to be processed like through one of these vortex vaults? Is it just going to go straight out into the bay? Does it just sit there and wait to get evaporated? Because we got the Hollis T. Williams project and the way that's going to manage stormwater. You tell me. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, my amateur understanding of this is brought to you by there's more water investment happening in the city of Pensacola than in the history of our city. So right now, so I can't get out of giving you this expertise without bragging about that. But between Hollis Williams, Powell Fox, Main Street, Langley on the way, we've got tens of millions, if not eclipsing, getting close to a nine-digit number on stormwater. So to understand Palafox, this is what you have to understand. It can take 93,000 gallons. And what that means is hypothetically on the construction area, we could dump instantaneously 1 inch of rain on the entire set of Palafox and it would be into the pipes. So just the existence of the pipes, excuse me, that doesn't count that the water is moving through the pipes, right? So that doesn't mean that anything after an inch is now going to be a flood. What we're saying is there's 93,000 gallons of increased capacity underground immediately. And I think one really easy way to look at it is right now there's 12 storm drains along Kyle Fox Street in this project area, four or five blocks. In that project area, there's 12 places for water to go. The road is flat, to your point. Right now, it is dead flat, which means water sits. It doesn't go to the drain. It sits on the ground. And if you look at our ADA ramps, anytime it rains, there's a huge puddle. So what happens here is we go from 12 to 44. So if you water in a bucket and there's 12 holes versus 44 holes, which one's going to move water out quicker? And that's ultimately what's happening. But to do that, to your point, and listen, you know, there's been opponents of this that have, you know, romanticized this idea that it's only for aesthetics or that there's no other values to this. In my mind, the ADA compliance, of which we are grossly underwhelming in terms of Palo Fox's ADA compliance,
right,
as well as the capability to move this water, and yes, it will be moved and treated. So we're not allowed to build stormwater that just dumps out into the bay immediately. It has to go through a treatment process, and that's for any stormwater project that we work on. So if you're down and you see that is all of that water must be treated in some way before it enters the bay.
I figured that was the answer, but I just, you know, somebody asked and I didn't know for sure, and that's why I wanted to check with you. And that's a great comfort also, that it's not just like an inch total, it's an inch by the, you know, it's immediately an inch, and then it's going to move that water out. So you have, you know, capacity per hour that is vastly different than what you have right now on Palo Fox, which, again, that with the ADA, those are big deals. Another question that has come up, and this is such a tiny little question, but I think it's just, I want to make sure, the issue of the square intersections rounded at the edges with a round donut in the middle that Brad Hinode explained, the city engineer explained, is meant to be visually discouraging speed. But you know, a question that came up, and I didn't know the answer, so I want to ask. But there will still be stop signs. We're not just depending on passive traffic control measures. There will still be stop signs, yes?
Yeah, to put it simply, think about it this way. If you come to a stop sign and you see something that doesn't look like a big, wide, interstate-level highway, it's going to just naturally tell your brain to slow down. That is all. Those are not roundabouts. They're not they are to make the driver sit, think for a second, therefore slow down before they go through. So absolutely, they remain four-way stops. You can drive straight. There's no issues with parades being able to fit through. That has all been vetted since the beginning. And that's why, you know, really at the end, and I'm certainly appreciative of the majority of council's support on this, and that's why I really wanted to manage up staff in the fact that I've been in these 24 meetings that just I've been in. I couldn't even count. I bet it's got to be 100 meetings that Brad Hinode, our city, has been in on this project.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard, you know, as I defend my staff, it's kind of hard to hear, you know, kind of peanut gallery comments of like, why didn't you think about this? Or why isn't that paver that color? Not because those aren't fair questions for folks that haven't been in 100 meetings. So I get it. But the reality is, so many of these things have been vetted and looked at and looked at again and value engineered and all that. And so I just kind of hate that line of logic, or again, you know, especially from folks that maybe don't want to see it happen, because that is a wild presumption that these things have not been vetted, you know, completely. So you know, in the case of the traffic circle, yeah, there is no impediment to the normal four-way stop. The idea is to make you think for a split second, which means you might drive a little bit slower through that intersection.
It's all of the things we talk about in terms of, you know, road dieting through visual. You know, you drive slower on a street where there's lots of cars. You drive slower on a street where there's lots of trees. When you can see it wide open, you drive faster because you feel safer. And the idea is to create a kind of not ugly visual clutter that makes you slow down and, you know, just behave a little bit better. We're talking with Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. D.C., hang on for just a second. Oh, and by the way, one quick correction. I got a couple of texts in here about this. Eggfest is Sunday. I think maybe David said it was Saturday, but Eggfest is, in fact, Sunday at the Hydra Shrine. So sorry about that. I apologize for the miscommunication. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
That's right. Just a minor accident on Avalon Boulevard southbound. starting to back up traffic there. It's just a small little accident, rear-ender, and they're trying to move it off to the side of the road. But I can see the delays. Highway 90 southbound into Pensacola experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You know, usually you and I don't talk an awful lot about what's on the agenda because, you know, frankly, a lot of times there isn't a lot. But there are a lot of very interesting things on the agenda for tomorrow night. This is one that caught my attention. Let's start with the one that's a little awkward for you to answer, and then we'll talk about the one that I think is fascinating. Somebody, Charles Baer, is proposing to give you a $34,000 raise in order to put your pay in line with the formula that had been passed previously and that the city council already operates on. I guess there was a thing that maybe was done under Grover Robinson that kind of held the pay back. Do you want to get paid more? Is this your item? It doesn't even go into effect until after the next election, right?
Well, to be fair, ever since I signed up this job, it certainly has not been about pay. And you'll have to ask Charles Baer, you know, for the conspiracy theorists that say that this is you know, I would just point to the sponsor and how he typically votes on things that I want to have happen in the city. So
I actually wondered if maybe this wasn't Charles trying to make you look bad by offering you a pay raise. He would not do that. Okay. He's not that kind of person. But anyway, so
you know, at the end of the day, I'm not focused, nor have I taken this job based on what it pays to somebody that needs to be in this job that wakes up and eats and breathes how we make this a better community. So,
right.
You know, any council member can put any item they want, and whatever happens with that happens. I would defer to the sponsor on that.
By the way, just FYI, I don't think we can fix it at this point, but your phone is cutting out a little bit. So if I ever talk over you, that's why. I'm not trying to be rude. The one that caught my attention that I thought was the most interesting, there's an agenda item that would require every private parking lot owner to post a very, and it's specified like 140-point font. Like, it's very clear what the sign would be to say this is not a city lot, they can't use city logos on their bills, they have to have all kinds of very particular details on the signs in the private lots to try to amplify the clarity that these are not the city-owned lots. Interesting suggestion.
Yeah, it's out of preserving my own sanity, Andrew, because every week I get an email that says, I can't believe you charge $15 an hour. And so the reality is we want to be able to clearly delineate that. The state legislature last year passed a bill, of which I support, that requires private lot owners to things. You can guess what happened next, Andrew.
Yeah.
What happened next is they assume everybody has a microscope that they bring in their car with them to read the sign that meets the language of the state legislature. So if you drive to any private lot, there's a sign there. Now, I can't read it. I mean, unless I'm about 6 inches from it, and it's like it looks like the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, that you just can't read anything on it. And so we're going to provide clarity. If clarity is not going to be provided, and again, as you well know, Andrew, the entire model of private parking is built to confuse people to make it think it's the city.
Right.
That's why their tickets say municipal parking on them. It's no other reason to vilify the mayor or the city and scare people to pay a ticket that has no legal authority of which you even have to pay. So that being said, then let's have clarity then. If you want to – listen, it's your right as a private lot owner that's your property. You can do that. You're legally allowed. That being said, there's going to be a black and white sign, literally, very much in black and white, that's going to say this is not the city. Here's the owner. Here's their cell phone number. Here's their email, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I even thought about putting a line, please don't call the mayor, but I thought that was selfish of me. But I was close
Yeah, no, the sign, I'm actually looking. The sign is actually on page 3,260 of the backup materials for the council meeting tomorrow night. It says, this property is not operated by a governmental entity. All vehicles are required to pay for parking as indicated on signage throughout the parking property. Charges for noncompliance, then it has a place where they put them. Grace period has a place to put them. Appeal process subject to Florida statute. Inquiries or complaints, and it has the phone number and the email address. Property owner, and it has the name and phone number of the, you know, like, this is a everything but don't call the mayor. I agree with you. So, no, this seems smart.
We ran out of room, Andrew, at the bottom. But But it's going to now be, now we'll be able to go tell our constituents, our visitors, that if there's that big black and white sign out front that says this is not a city lot, then that should be much easier to see now than kind of the joke of a sign that and all the
Just a technical question. Would that apply to people who open up like their lawns and stuff on special events and let people park? You know, it's not a, it's not an official setup like the red lots used to be.
Correct. This would be, with the falls under the statute, which is this, the paid parking system. Obviously, someone was parking in their front yard for a game or something like that one time a year. I mean, that's not going to be.
Meant like, you know, because people charge for that sometimes. And I just didn't know if this would fall under that. Sounds like it would not, which is, you know, good. There was one of the just a very quick thing. CRA on Monday voted down the Baptist money. What happened?
We're moving forward.
Oh, okay. All right. I must have read that wrong. So, because I didn't watch that meeting.
That was voting on the demolition contract. Come back in December, we'll have the advisor for the city on board to help us with kind of the future planning and development.
So that's all moving forward fine. Okay. I just completely read that wrong. That's my fault. I apologize. Very good. And the Quinn Studer offer. Have you heard from, because it seems to me like business owners would now be able to say, well, I had been worried about lost business and I might still be, but we have at least some kind of a safety net aside from the $1 million that the city's putting up that is going to help people through this time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And listen, this is an unprecedented investment by the city. When people read Facebook and maybe don't click on the, you know, that pesky article, what normally happens is people will say, oh, well, I can't believe the mayor's asking property owners to help or for private, you know, investment and things like this to get off the sideline, which, of course, I did not ask Quint for this, and he's very generous to do it. Doesn't surprise me, knowing him the way I know him. But you know, we're putting well over $1 million of investment up. Which road project have we ever done that? And so this is not just, hey, will other people help the city get this infrastructure project done?
Right.
The city is stepping up in an unprecedented way, and those types of offers and efforts, and not from other landlords that are, you know, delaying rent, lowering rent, you know, temporarily. And again, Quint mentioned even in his own building, he's told people they don't have to pay this year, which I thought was extremely generous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so the property owners that stand to have a benefit of this finished product prior. I feel like the city is leaning on them, myself in my position, leaning on them to kind of help make this happen. When they repaved North Palafox, Andrew, years ago, they charged an assessment by linear foot to property owners. And Dan Lindemann will be very quick to tell you that. You know, they paid about $5,000 in 1994 for just a simple repaving. So, you know, that we didn't go that way, but the very much invested in this, and we aren't asking of others what we aren't putting up ourselves between part between the bonus to get done quickly, the $100,000 in marketing, and any other thing. So
that you guys said that the $700,000 of the bonus, if that doesn't get paid, that would be available to remediate for businesses as well. It's kind of either going to pay the developer
That's
to get
correct.
Done early, or it's going to pay the businesses to offset the losses from that extended time. We always like to end with a quick frivolous topic. A couple of questions for you. The lightning round. First one is, on your bed, how many pillows?
Seven. I would choose two.
Right.
It might be eight. I may have just glazed over. I'm trying to think.
I gotcha. Are your hands clean after you pet your dog or cat?
When I'm hanging out, yes. I'm not worried about them. You know, I'm not worried about whatever my dog carries. But I guess I need a good wash if I'm going to be able to shake hands with strangers.
If you're eating like at the table and the dog comes over and you pet the dog, do you get up to go wash your hands?
No. Okay. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day.
That's exactly right.
Immune system, whatever the case may be.
All right. And when you open a bag of chips and you do not finish all the chips, what do you then do to protect the chips from the Florida air?
I have some people would call it lazy. I have this technique where you roll the bag and then roll the edge of it onto itself.
Okay.
You know, instead of going to find a chip clip.
Okay. And then you just trust gravity or physics somehow to push up against the wall kind of thing?
Correct. And when you go back to get some more, then you may not do it as solidly as you did the first time. and then that means you have to eat them quicker because they may go stale.
Right. But that's just a motive to enjoy them better, right, at the front end. So that's all right.
Exactly.
Perfect. That's great. Mayor D.C. Reeves, looking forward to the meeting tomorrow night. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound, 5 to 7 minutes delay there. And Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile Road, that's experiencing about a 12 to 15 minute congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
He does make a good point that, you know, if you're not as emphatic about protecting the chips, that would teach you internally that you should eat them faster and enjoy them more. Interesting.
Never thought about that.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Fall is here, and White Sands Electric wants to remind you it's the perfect time of year for safety upgrades, like replacing that antique breaker panel or adding surge protection. Also, it's getting darker earlier, and White Sands Electric wants their commercial clients to know their 42-foot and 65-foot bucket trucks and their 126-foot boom lift can take care of virtually any exterior lighting repairs or upgrades. Call 850-433-6080 or visit whitesandselectric.com today.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen today at 10 on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now, the next clip, I think you will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's called Attack of the Street Pimps. Check it out.
Oh, Hollywood Shuffle. It's some kind of movie. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Yes, good morning. I'm sorry about that. I'm right here. Charlotte, North Carolina, reportedly the next target for the U.S. Border Patrol. Agents are expected to soon leave Chicago. They've been conducting raids and immigration crackdowns there as part of Operation Midway Blitz. Local law enforcement officials in Charlotte say so far they haven't received any information on potential operations. Another member of the Kennedy family apparently planning to run for office. The grandson of President John F. Kennedy says he's planning to run for a congressional seat in New York City next year. Unfortunately, he won't be able to take advantage of the family name. His name is Jack Schlossberg. He's the only son of Caroline Kennedy, and he'll seek to replace Democrat Congressman Jerry Nadler.
So I'm guessing Caroline Kennedy was married to a Schlossberg, then had a kid, and then reverted back to her maiden name after, and that's why he carries the name?
I guess so, yeah.
You're listening.